We want to turn tonight to the book of Kings, 2 Kings, and the chapter 5, please. 2 Kings chapter 5, and we'll be reading down from verse 15. 2 Kings and chapter 5 and verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, that's Naaman, came. And came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of my servant. And he said, As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, that's Elisha, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought, but as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him, and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now, there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. Naaman said, Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments, and led them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand, and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went nowhither. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants, maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Dear Lord, bless thy word as we turn to it this night in the closing minutes. We realize, O God, thy word teaches we will reap what we sow in Jesus' name. Amen. Tremendous chapter this about Naaman, the great captain of the Syrian army, a great man, wealthy, well off, comfortable, popular, a man of valor. And remember, on Sunday he would be wearing lots of medals. Great man of valor, courage. He was a friend of the king Ben-Hadad. He wasn't in competition with the king, as some generals do, but they were good friends, and they went to church together, and they were good company. They looked after each other. But Naaman was a leper. That changes things greatly, doesn't it? I'm sure he spent a lot of time hiding his leprosy, wearing a scarf, hat, whatever would take place, keeping himself covered, and the leprosy was growing. Naaman, he had a little girl working in the kitchen, probably working in the house in the kitchen with his wife. Little girl that had been stolen away from Israel. You see, there was Syrian bands. We wouldn't have anything like this in this country, like gangs. And they would go down into Israel and they would steal corn, barley, green diesel or red diesel probably if they could get it, and they would take it back with them, and they took this little girl with them this time, and she becomes a servant in Naaman's household, and she was a good girl, lovely wee girl. She was kind. Now she could have said, I hear Naaman's got leprosy, boy, he deserves that. She didn't say that. She said to her mistress, Oh, that my master Naaman or go to Israel, go to Samaria. There's a man there could pray for him and they'd be healed. Naaman's wife goes, mistress goes, tells Naaman. And so he says, I better go. And he goes down to the king and he says, look, I hear down in Israel there's a man that can pray for me and God will heal me. Oh, he says, I'll send a letter to the king. Sent a letter to the king and might upset things. But the king thought there's going to be war. He's wanting a quarrel. How can I heal the man? But Elisha was friendly with the king of Israel and he hears about this. And he sends a message up. Send that man down to my house. Send Naaman down to my house. So Naaman, you could see him out dressed in his best. A lot of wealth with him. Beautiful clothes with him. Servants with him. Horses, carriages, whatever all's there. And they move off and they go down to Elisha's home. And Gehazi goes out to the door. Elisha sends him. Go out and tell that man to dip in the Jordan 7 times. Oh boy. If that would have been here, what a difference it would be. We would have the cameras, the BBC would be out, the RTE would be out. And they'd all be taking pictures and putting it in. Elisha, the great man of God, would be out to do a healing service. But he didn't even go out to the door. He sent Gehazi. And Gehazi tells him, go wash in Jordan 7 times. And boy, Naaman is angry. Very angry. Who does he think he is? Could he not come out? I thought he had to come out and lay hands on me. I thought he had made a service of this. I'm an important general from Syria. He's into the carriage and I can see him drive the horses down the road. And he's angry. And his servants, who were good servants, listen to this, came to him and said, look, Naaman, if he had asked you to do something special, you'd have done it. Stop, go down to the river, dip 7 times. And eventually they persuade him. And I see Naaman going down to the river. He takes off his clothes and the servants, oh, look at the leprosy. He's white. He's ill. I didn't think it was like that. Wow. And I see this great man showing his need. Gets into the waters. 6 times and nothing happens. And the 7th time he's healed. And he's rejoicing. Absolutely a new convert. He's full of joy. Oh man, give me a towel, I get my hair dried. And he gets dressed. Like, turn them horses around and we'll go up and we'll say thank you, Elisha, and we'll give them a gift. Drive them horses. Come on, boys, let them go. 25 mile up the road and the horses gallop up and they come back to Elisha's house and Elisha comes out this time and he says, Elisha, receive a gift. There's a talent of silver. In fact, there's more. Now, one talent, it's very hard to work out what a talent's worth. But there's different sizes of talents, temple talents and so forth, and builder's talents and all the rest. But it could have been worth around $25,000 a talent. Now, that would be a nice gift. If somebody reached me $25,000 going out to church, I'd probably faint. So would the elders and the committee. They would faint also. But here's a gift. Take a gift. Elisha says, no thanks. Here's some lovely clothes. Beautiful. No thanks. Don't want them. And Gehazi's watching. Now we turn our attention to Gehazi for a few minutes. And we're going to mention 3 things about Gehazi. What he saw. What did he see? He saw silver. He saw clothing. He saw things that he didn't have. And he coveted them, and he wanted them. Now, he had seen many things previously. We don't know when exactly Gehazi joined up with Elisha, but we know Elisha was the top of the country that the 2 bearers come out to protect Elisha. Remember, the young people gathered around him. They're going to harm him. 2 bearers come out. We know that in the scripture, it tells us that Elisha gave advice to King how to win a war. There was previous miracles. The miracle of the widow's oil. The Shunammite son. Chapter 4, verse 25 says, Elisha said to Gehazi, his servant. That's about the Shunammite child. So Elisha was here long enough, or Gehazi was there long enough with Elisha, to understand this was a man of God. And to understand that God's hand was upon him. And he was there long enough to understand that he was the servant of Elisha, who would, like one day take over the work. Remember, Elisha took over from Elijah. And Gehazi has been prepared for a great work of God. He would have been there when the food for the prophets was made good. He was there when 100 men were fed and they brought the loaves. And by the way, Elisha accepted a gift then. But he didn't accept the gift of Naaman. Why? Because God's salvation's free. Isn't that lovely? You don't pay for God's salvation. It's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's times we do accept the gifts. But Elisha didn't accept the gift because here's a man coming to Christ as his Savior. Here's a new convert. And it's free. God's salvation's free. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. What did Gehazi see? He saw miracles. He saw wonderful things happening in the past. And then he sees silver and clothes. He sees more than that, because in verse 26, when he came back to Elisha, it says it's a time to receive money, garments, olive yards, vineyards, sheep, oxen, men servants, maid servants. He saw a way out of a servant. He saw himself being a master and not a servant. He saw himself having his own ground, his own property, his own animals, his own oxen, his own servants. He saw himself dressed like the man of the manor. And he saw, here's my opportunity. Here's enough silver. Talent of silver. Man, that would be tremendous. That would set me up in business. That would buy ground. It wouldn't only buy the ground. It would buy the servants. It would buy the oxen. It would buy the sheep. I'd be set up. That's covetousness, friend. The little maid that worked for Naaman wasn't covetous. She was kind, wasn't she? And it says in verse 20, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, has no respect for spiritual things. He worked with spiritual things. He worked with spiritual Elisha, but he has no respect. And Elisha, as I said, has refused to give God's salvations free and grace and God's goodness. And here's a young man who was to be spiritual, but he's not. He's materialistic. Now, we all need some form of material, don't we? You need a shirt and a pair of shoes. You need a bed to sleep in. You need food to eat. As we looked this morning, we set our affections on those things that are above. He's lost his respect for spiritual things. He was greatly privileged, but he had a very poor performance. Now the world today says, oh, we need to take the children off the streets. We need to put them into houses. That'd be nice. We need to go down into Dublin and take the poor people off the streets and into Belfast and put them into nice housing. We need to dress the men and put suits on them and dresses on the ladies. Friend, it's a new heart that people need. A new suit, that's nice. It's lovely to wear a nice suit. But it's a new heart. And Gehazi here has looked and he has seen the silver clothes. Now, there's many examples in the Bible. We could just mention Achan. Achan saw. Achan stole, Achan hid, disobedience. Judas, 30 pieces of silver. Enough money to buy that plot of ground outside Jerusalem there. Ananias and Sapphira, they told a lie. Demas hath forsaken me. Why? Because he's drunk? No. Because he's gone immoral? No. Because he's left the wife? No. Because he has loved this present world. Do we not see that in our churches today? Gold, silver, wealth, money. Here's a man, disrespect for spiritual things, disrespect for his master, Elisha. He said, my master has sent me, verse 22. And he's working in spiritual things and he's full of covetousness. He sees a temptation's great. If I had some of that silver. He's disrespect for Naaman. He has no respect for the new convert. Come on, do we always have respect for the new convert? Do you, hey, did you see your man in church? Watch him. Profess to be saved, but watch him. I know him. I knew his old fella before him. He was no good either. Instead of, man, when the prodigal son come home, they had a party. They had a barbecue. Killed a fatted calf. When, friend, did we ever have a praise service to rejoice in God saving sinners in our churches? Down the years, my wife and I enjoyed many praise services, still do, sing an odd time. But when do we rejoice over sinners being saved? Yeah. The prodigal son come home, and I'm afraid the elder brother is still knocking about some of our churches yet. Disrespect for the man of God. And then he says in verse 20, naming this Syrian. Man, that's like it, isn't it? There's us, there's them, and then there's those other people. And if he's not one of us, he's not welcome. He's one of Israel's enemies, so here's a political problem. Do you know that happens sometimes when visitors come to the church? If they're not just one of us, we give them the cold shoulder. Someone gets saved, move into the church, we give them cold shoulder to push them out so as, just in case they take our place in Sunday school class or maybe become an elder. Disrespect for God. God, oh my, God heal Naaman. This conversion means nothing to Gehazi. There's no fear of God. And even today, is there fear of God? No. What Gehazi saw, what Gehazi said, oh man, one sin leads to another. Verse 22. What did he say? All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, behold, even now there come to me men, sons of the prophets, give me a talent of silver. He runs after Naaman. Naaman stops the carriage. He even gets out of the carriage and comes over to Gehazi. He says, what do you want? Talent of silver. One sin leads to another. Covetousness leads to lying. We have lies today. Oh, tremendous lies. We work with the charities and so forth. We've been involved with charities and so forth. And there's some awful lies. I was on television the other night about one company. And they lift money for different things across the world, and 70% of the money goes to that company. 10% goes to advertising, and about 2 or 3 pence in the pound actually goes to the needy. We have people on the television, preachers, and sow a seed, send us some money, and it'll grow. Prosperity gospel. And here's Naaman, and just as greedy and covetous as Gehazi is, Naaman is generous. And he urges him, don't take one talent here, take two. 2 talents of silver, it took 2 men to carry. A talent of silver is quite a lot of weight. More of God's grace in Naaman, friend, than there was in Gehazi. Verse 24 tells us very quickly he went and hid it. Adam and Eve hid, didn't they? Achan hid what he got. I say, well, we don't do the like that up round here, no. I was talking to a man the other week, and I was admiring his Jeep. He was driving a Jeep. And up where we live, we live near the border, you see. So you can have white diesel, red diesel, or green diesel. You have a choice. I said to him, well, we Jeep go well. Suppose you run some red or green diesel well. Your reverence, would I tell you a wee story? He says, when I got my first Jeep, I ran her on red diesel. And he said, if I ever went into the village or down into Strabane, I was watching every corner for a policeman. By the way, you don't really see many policemen in Strabane or up around where he lives. And he said, I got to the point, I was annoyed watching and peeping and watching. As I said, I'll just put white diesel on her and I don't have to worry now. Hiding. Hiding our sin. Hiding our covetousness. Hiding our greed. Deception. In appearance. Deception in our talk. To cover up our sins. we do, don't we? Deception. And covetousness leads to lying, leads to deception. And he thought nobody saw anything. Did God not see it? Yes, God did see it. You have to smile when you read this. It's better than any fantasy story. God saw what was happening. And let me tell you, God didn't only see it. God revealed what was happening to the man of God, Elisha. God saw every detail. He saw what Gehazi was wanting to get, the silver and the clothes. And he saw how he was going to spend the silver. You've maybe come to church tonight and you're sitting there and you're planning what you're going to do next week. My wife doesn't do that in church. She has it all already done last week. What I have to do next week, that's retirement. But we can sit in church and smile and sing the hymns from our lips out, but our heart's not in it. We're planning what we're doing next week. We're going to sell a cow in the mart tomorrow morning. The mart's on, we'll sell a cow tomorrow. Or we're going to, there's spuds to be sold, there's spuds to be dug. Boys, I hope it's a dry day. And we've all these plans. What Gehazi suffered. What he saw, what he said, and what he suffered. Very plain. Verse 27. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, to thy seed forever. And out from his presence a leprous. What does that tell me? It tells me you reap what you sow. Proverbs 21 and 6 says, the getting of treasures by the lying tongue is a vanity. That means it's empty. It'll be no good to you. It's a vanity tossed to and fro. It's something that's empty. It's just nothing there. And it says of them that seek death. We live in a day and age when many Christians, professing Christians, think it's all right just to tell a lie. Cover up one lie, cover up another. It's not. Because God sees and God knows and God says you'll reap what you sow. You're very strict. Well, so's God. I go down to a farm sometimes and here's the man and he's dividing sheep. What are you doing there with the sheep today, boy? We're scanning a few ewes. Or ewes, as they say. All right. What's them there with the orange mark on the back of their neck? Oh, them's all in lamb. All right. What's that wee batch? One, two, three, four. There's 10 over there. What are they? They didn't scan and lamb, you know. They're empty. All right. Well, why didn't you put an orange mark on them? Because they're all going to the mart, aren't they? Oh, I'm telling the whole lot. Well, put an orange mark on them too. But you couldn't do that, sure, because wouldn't that be telling a lie? The man that bought them would think they have lambs as well as them because of the same orange mark. Here, give me that taste of paint and I'll put it on them and there'll be no difference made. Nobody know the difference. Does that happen? Come on. It does, surely. And that's why some suffering comes. Here's a young man, Gehazi. And he has every opportunity in the world to become a man of God like his master and his master before that. He has every opportunity in the world to go out and serve the Lord and see what God can do. And he gets his eyes turned away from the spiritual things. And he sees silver and he sees gold and he sees homes and he sees clothes and business and property and sheep and animals. And instead of being a servant, he'll be a master. Has that not happened in our churches, friend? How many young people were brought up in our Sunday schools, brought up in our little school here? And you looked at them and you said, man, there's a lovely wee girl. Boys, there's a wee girl. She can sing, she can read, she can preach. Boy, she would do well in Uganda as a missionary. There's a young girl. Boy, she's a beauty. Man, she's not like her mother at all. She's a lovely wee girl. She'd do well in our Sunday school. Man, she knows her Bible so well. And then as they get older, there's a wee boy. Boy, he's good. You know, he could be a great help there up in Kenya. There's a young lad would be a great doctor, wouldn't he? He's going to be a doctor. And he comes out as a doctor. And then you look at them and their eyesight is over towards what? The silver. The business. The money. And as Colossians says, we have to set our affections on things above. They set their affections on things below. And they miss out on the great experience of serving the Lord. He lost his health, Gehazi. He lost his service. He lost his respect. He lost his reputation. He became a castaway outside the city wall. He lost his wealth because he couldn't go into town to spend it. He wouldn't be allowed to run a business. He had to go about with his upper lip like we're shouting, unclean, 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 clear, keep away, I'm unclean. He lost his joy, he lost his happiness, he lost his life. Why? Because a little covetousness got in, a little selfishness. They helped him plan a lie. And how to steal and how to deceive. And sin, friend, brings sadness. Sin brings sadness. Sin brings tears. Brought him to a place as he had to live outside the city and cry unclean, unclean. The Bible tells us contentment with godliness. It's great gain. Great gain. I wonder, is there someone here and you're being tempted at the moment to set aside the things of God for something else? Tempted at the moment to set aside the things of God for money, sport. I like sport. I like a bit of money too. And I like food and I like all those things. But God's salvation must be first, friend. And God's service. What a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. What a wonderful thing at the end of the day when we go up into the heavens and we hear, well done. Well done. You did well in Sunday school. You did well in that wee youth meetings. You did well in your farm because all their farmers knew you were a saved man and you were honest. See that factory you worked in? Did you realize you helped many to find the Savior? Well done. Well done. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us tonight and for every blessing. We thank Thee for Thy word that, Lord, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou art able to speak to our hearts and guide us step by step. And we would say unto Him that is able to keep us from falling, O God, keep us from falling. Be all the praise and glory and dominion in these days, Lord, that we might love Thee and serve Thee. Life goes by so quickly, it is but a tale that is told. And, O God, one day we shall stand before Thee and give an account. We want to hear, well done. Well done. Bless us. Take us our way in safety tonight. Keep us safe as we travel. Guide us, Lord, in this incoming week. You know the busyness of life. Go with us. Be the good shepherd. Lead us, guide us step by step. Keep us from being covetous. Keep us from sin, Lord. Keep us from lying. Keep us from deception. Keep us from these sins, Lord, that can be hidden. And, O God, keep us a clean heart to walk with Thee in pure heart and clean hands. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.